Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Of course, Judy is the co-author of The Serotonin Power Diet, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy. Her latest book was Before Her Voice Was Still, and she is going to apply to become a nursing mom for animals in the future for all the work that she put on saving that family, and chronologically that family that she saved in Florida.
Florida.
Was it in Florida? Or was
no,
it,
Boston.
It was in Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was in Florida.
Well, it was in the Everglades. It wasn't a crocodile family.
Well, she did good. She did good.
Midwife,
that's right.
From the duck pond in the Boston Public Garden.
That's right. Live from the duck pond in the Boston Public Garden. Which is much, it's Dr. Judy Werpman.
It's Dr. Dr. Judy Werpman.
Midwife to the wildlife, yes. Anyway, thank you. Nice to talk to you, and always enjoy a laugh with you. Anyway, one of the things we haven't talked about for a very, very long time is whether people who have to lose weight should take weight loss drugs to do so. And I think the reason we haven't talked about it is that really until fairly recently there was nothing that people could take that was not without really serious side effects in some cases, or could only be used for a short period of time, or simply if you were, for example, taking another medication, let's say for depression, and this in particular weight loss drug might work on the similar chemicals in your brain, you really couldn't take it as well. But in the last couple of years, you may have seen on various television advertisements an advertisement for a drug called Ozempic, O-Z, E-M-P-I-T, or some other drugs, and I saw that they were being advertised, as drugs are being advertised, for people who have type 2 diabetes, and one of the voiceover descriptions of this particular drug said, and by the way, weight loss may also be a side effect, which in many cases, because people tend to be overweight or type 2 diabetes, would be a plus, not a negative. Recently, physicians have decided that these drugs, which are called semaglutides, S-E-M-A-G-L-U-T-I-D-E, these drugs might be useful not just for people with type 2 diabetes, because what they do is increase insulin secretion so that you decrease the level of blood glucose, and they also prevent a hormone in the body called glucagon from making more glucose to be put into the bloodstream, and so you can stabilize your glucose levels. They also found that these drugs tend to delay stomach emptying and therefore allow people to feel full for a much longer period of time, but also in some way that is really not well defined, they also get people to lose weight, not just because they delay stomach emptying. So about 2 or 3 years ago, a major study was undertaken in many different centers in Europe to see whether the drug would actually cause people to lose weight who did not have diabetes but was simply overweight or obese. And the study was very cleverly done. They took over 800 people, and for 20 weeks, about half a year, they put them on, everybody had the drug, and they lost weight. They lost about 10% of their starting weight, which was really not bad for that period of time. Then they took the same people, and they divided them into two groups. Oh, by the way, the drug was injectable every week. Now it's available in oral form, but at that point it wasn't. And they said, okay, you'll continue taking the drug or a placebo, but we're not going to tell you which one it is, for the next 40 weeks. Slightly more than that. We'll see whether you continue to lose weight. And people, again, did not know whether they were getting the drug or the placebo. They all had to inject themselves. Turned out, the people who continued to get the drug continued to lose weight, although not as great a rate as they had earlier. But the people who were getting the placebo all gained back their weight, all of it. Even though they thought they were getting the drug, and even though everybody had been given low-calorie diets, behavioral modification instructions, exercise programs, you know, all the good stuff that helps you lose weight and keep it off. So the question that this study posed was, should people who are overweight and obese be allowed to take a weight loss drug chronically? Or certainly until they reach their goal weight, and then possibly when they start to gain weight, take the drug again? And the reason that this question is so interesting is that for a long, long time, practitioners, you know, who were trying to help the obese, had this feeling that, well, we gave you a drug, you should lose weight on it. If you don't lose weight and you gain, or you gain it back again, too bad. That's it. You had your chance. Even though it's been well established that regaining weight after a diet is so common, that when people don't do it, it's really interesting and unique. And so I think that the discussion may be starting to say that there are some people who simply cannot lose weight without the help of a drug. I mean, these people, like 400 of them, thought they were getting the drug. And even with that, their bodies refused to allow them to lose the weight that they had been when they were getting the drug. And so maybe we should recognize that there really are a lot of people who simply cannot lose weight and keep it off without some kind of metabolic intervention, in this case a drug that normalized blood sugar and delayed stomach emptying. They just can't do it on their own. So it's worth a discussion. I hope that it's going to be discussed for a while, you know, as we go into, you know, more finding more drugs that might have the same effect.
I just think that I think that that people that need that help should get that help. And I also, and I always poo-pooed this idea, but right now, I just talked about this with Jill this morning, I'm doing five different things at once. I'm recovering from the stem cell on my left knee. I'm preparing for a stem cell on my right knee. I have now reached the 100-pound mark lost.
Wow.
And
my God.
So on top of that, I'm doing a diet, but also I am now taking a whole phalanx of supplements, from vitamins, to give me my energy, the iron level back, and everything like that.
Sure.
And you're doing physical therapy.
And physical therapy.
Sure.
So I think once people, if they're given the adaptation to use that drug, and then they go on this, honest to gosh, I don't feel like I'm on a diet anymore. My body is so self-regulated. Once again, yesterday I made something for dinner. Okay?
Yeah.
I made a simple thing like a hot dog, and I had a salad that had chickpeas. Okay?
Yeah.
The hot dog is back in the refrigerator. The salad that had the chickpeas and some cheese and some protein and stuff, I finished. That's my body just telling me, you know what? You don't need that hot dog right now.
You can't do that. And it's funny because you have always had eyes that were different from your... I don't want to be so trite, but what you thought you should eat and what you could actually eat
are two different things. And now my body has really adjusted, and my body tells me. And now, instead of ignoring it like I used to, I don't ignore it. It is a signal to me that says, okay, well, you know, that hot dog's not going anywhere. Put it in the refrigerator. Maybe you can have it for lunch tomorrow.
Marshall, you're right, but how do we get somebody with your mindset to be adapted by other people who know this and try this? I mean, these people who were self-injecting, it wasn't that they just took a simple pill. They had to inject themselves each week. And so you would think that they would have had assumed that they were getting the drug and been motivated to continue on the low-calorie diet and a sensible eating plan and exercising. They couldn't do it.
I have a horrible theory that I'm going to throw out here.
All right.
Then we're going to either forget I said it or explore it.
All right, fine.
My horrible theory is that there may well be something in various things that you are given to lower, to make you less hungry, that secretly make you more hungry or more thirsty or more something. And
they did lose weight, Jill. They all lost weight.
Yeah.
When they were taking the drug.
No, I'm not disagreeing, but I've also seen the, I think it's the same thing, the Ozempic commercials.
That's exactly what it is.
Right, and the whole thing is, it's the Truman Show. It's a little parallel universe where they have actors who are on the not petite side, and they stop for a smoothie and they do all sorts of things, and that's not real life. I'm really sorry.
You know, Judy, the whole thing comes down to I'll compare people's health to the climate change. We denied climate change for so long, so now we're in climate change. We're getting the extreme weather. Now that we can't stop it, now we have to, as a country and as a world, adapt to adapt to it. Well, most people, and I can tell you this for myself, until I really made that decision that my health was going to be affected, and this all goes back to the start of the pandemic, and watching Bill Maher over all these years saying the problem with America is that it lets people get fat, and it's true, and have unhealthy diets. 50% of what happens can be changed by people's diet. Until that actually hits someone, and hey, I'm a person that's until that hits somebody, I don't know whether or not they can actually make that lifestyle change. Look how long it took me.
Yeah, that's right. And you have tried other interventions.
Yeah.
And something went click. And No, I agree. And one of the things, one of the problems with that particular study is that they cold turkey took people right off the drug. It wasn't as if they took them off gradually or said, okay, the people on placebo, maybe they could get placebo once a week, and then the other week they got the drug. I mean, they should have perhaps tapered them down to see what was happening. I mean, a real life story, a study, they should have just said, okay, we're going to now you've had it for 20 weeks, let's try every other week. And, gee, if you're starting to gain weight again, maybe we'll introduce it again. If you're not starting to gain weight, we'll just work really hard to get you to make those behavioral changes stick.
That's it. There's the second part. That's the biggest thing. You've lost weight. We're now going to wean you off this, and now let's take over to the part where you control weight loss, not a drug.
Yes. And I just want to interject one more thing. We're going to run out of time, but Marshall?
Maybe we should all start a weight loss clinic.
Well, maybe we don't. But there's something about this that's really important, is you got to be willing, and that was the biggest fight that you and I had around it. Like, you were happy, not happy, but you were committed to losing the weight. It was the other stuff.
Yes, right.
You've got to change your lifestyle. You've got to change your lifestyle.
But congratulations, Marshall. But your 100 pounds, that is worthy, not of a cake, but at least a carrot.
That's right.
You're going to do more than wonderful. Carrot's really sad. All right.
Right. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.